Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Matt Smith in for Zach Bye, but I got my guy Phil Lindsay in the house. Do they not have the drop for you on this show with Gus Johnson screaming your name?
No, we've done it. We played it a couple times.
Do you not
times.
Have that drop? Do you have that drop, KJ? You should have that drop for Phil on the show.
No.
That should be a drop.
We got it for a specific segment. I'll put it that way.
Okay. I just drop it whenever he says something outrageous. Lindsay! You know?
I like it.
I love that. All right. Hey, look, NFL free agency is hot and heavy and rolling today. If you thought there was a reunion in the works for Drew Lock in Denver, you are sorely mistaken. Drew Lock to the Giants, presumably to back up Daniel Jones, I guess. Although the reports out of New York, Phil, are that they're not happy with Daniel Jones. They've got buyer's remorse.
Yeah, they're out of there. They want to be out of there with Daniel Jones already.
And it makes sense, though, that Drew Lock would be the name because he's a, you know, low-risk, high-reward guy, I guess, if you want to paint it that way. But I think what that might tell you is that, hey, there might be somebody by the end of the year other than Daniel Jones, who's starting in New York.
So do you think that they still go? They picked up Drew Lock. They got Daniel Jones locked in with a lot of money, okay?
And an injury guarantee, by the way. Yeah, that's the whole reason.
Yeah, and they got the number six pick in the draft.
Right.
Are they still drafting a quarterback?
I don't know if they ever work. Can you really pay a guy and then the next year draft him? I know you can do it 2 years after because we're about to see it here.
Yeah.
But can you do it the first year? I don't know.
I mean, I've never understood why they paid Daniel Jones at the time that they did.
Yeah.
They should have kind of waited it out. And I know that they were trying to beat the market because they just went to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you not going to? And you know I'm a running back, so I'm always going to be for my running backs. You don't even give Saquon Barkley an opportunity and pay him the right amount that he deserves, but you give Daniel Jones it, and now you're sitting with a situation, a financial situation, where you can't take it back because you don't want the man anymore.
They should have tagged Barkley last year.
They should have.
And if you look at what happened with the running back market this year, it corrected itself.
Yeah.
Because for all the talk that they're, you know, after your first contract, you know, you're basically as good as an old bag of footballs for a running back in the NFL. We heard all that last year.
That's Zach right now. That's Zach Bye. If he was with me right now,
Zach Bye
does not like running backs for some reason.
Well, I just think that obviously if you look in the draft, it's obviously just, hey, look, I mean, I can get this guy later in the draft. I don't have to spend a ton of draft capital on him. And from a roster construction perspective, I just think it makes more sense. No offense to you, but I think
but
it makes more sense.
You can say that for any level right now. The receivers, at some point, they're going to have to redo because Justin Jefferson's going to break the bank.
But the wear and tear on your position is just different. You're the only dude every play that's getting hit somehow.
Well, that's why we should get more money.
Okay.
More money. We're out there laboring.
Maybe for that first contract, and again, but see, that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
But I think the market corrected itself, because what did we see when free agency, or at least the legal tampering period, opens?
Yeah.
Because technically, we all understand that free agency doesn't open until tomorrow, right? Officially.
Yeah, officially, it opens tomorrow, but I'm telling you guys, like,
no, it's open.
2 weeks ago, that's when it started.
Essentially, the first wave is already over before everything opens what's going on right now. And so, yeah, so with that situation in New York, maybe Drew Lock ends up finding his way on the field at some point this season, but that was another option that people were going around here. Well, I mean, do you crawl back to Drew? Do you call? And clearly the thought was, come on, you're being ridiculous. And I had the same thought about Joe Flacco. Because today, another quarterback went off the board in Jameis Winston to go be Cleveland's backup. 1 year, I believe, $8 million. Well, Joe Flacco came in, and in the month of December last year, statistically, had one of the best months a quarterback has ever had in NFL history by the numbers.
Come on, Matt. He was with a team that was already okay, solidified on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. They were doing the heavy workload. They had talent on the offensive side of the ball.
Flacco.
Flacco is a quarterback that has done it, has been there. Okay, he's seasoned, and he understood what he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you put him in a situation over here in Denver, we're rebuilding?
That's my people, though.
Oh.
Come off the bench, and I'll give you one of the best performances you ever seen. No, here's what I'll say. I did hear, I believe it was Chris Thomas in Denver Gazette, said that he reached out to the Broncos, and they have zero interest in Joe Flacco.
I would have zero interest. Joe Flacco needs to retire.
He needs to retire. He just put up one of the best months in NFL history.
Man, he needs to retire.
Well, the NFL might retire him for himself.
They need to.
Yeah.
He won comeback player of the year when a guy who literally died on the field came back, and he couldn't even win it.
But that's what happens when you have one of the best months a quarterback's ever had in NFL. Anyway, so Joe Flacco, that's not happening. I think there's a couple of things happening here for Denver. What we're seeing is that we are headed towards a very likely scenario that they draft a quarterback at some point.
Hmm.
Does that happen at 12? Are they going to move up for a guy?
They have to move up. I said Zach.
Yeah, it's all right. Zach and Matt sound really, really, really similar if you say it fast enough.
And you like to piss me off like
exactly.
Zach does.
Perfect.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I'll get under your skin.
Nah,
I mean, I've known you for a long time. I'm going to do that to you. I'll just say the I believe we're headed there, but are they going to move up?
They have to at this point, Matt. Like, why would you not? I think that me personally, I think that they thought that there was going to be quarterbacks out there, but now that there's no quarterbacks out there, now they're kind of shuffling. I think that they did want Sam Darnold. They maybe were interested in Jacoby and maybe Jameis Winston, but they weren't willing to give the money, okay, that they wanted, which was like $8 million for
Winston.
How much was Jacoby?
Jacoby was eight. Winston was six, Jacoby was eight, and Darnold was 10.
And so now you put yourself in a situation where you got Jarrett Stidham. Come on, man. I wanted somebody to at least compete with Jarrett Stidham. Who's going to come in here and compete with Jarrett Stidham?
A rookie. I think that's what we're starting to see. Because, and this is what I was saying to you before we got out of here in the last segment, was, okay, 30,000-foot view, would you love to have Darnold? Would you love to have a Jacoby Brissett? Well, I mean, we all know they're all going to be bridge guys.
I would love for one of them to come in and compete for Jarrett Stidham so Stidham can show out and show us that he can be the quarterback. I want somebody to compete with him. Right now, Jarrett Stidham feels like I have a rookie. If we go for J.J. McCarthy, Jarrett Stidham's like, I'm going to probably have the whole entire year before they let this young man, you know, off the leash.
You're getting it here.
You're
picking up what
but
they're putting
down. But I want Jarrett Stidham to have somebody compete with him so we can get the best out of him if he is our quarterback. But if he's not, and that other quarterback, the other veteran comes in and wins him out, beats him out, that's who I want, being the quarterback until our young rookie.
You don't think the rookie pushes him? Isn't the goal of drafting a first-round rookie and moving up that, hey, maybe, look,
depending on who you get.
Okay.
Depending on who you get.
Okay.
You get J.J. McCarthy, you're looking at a project. You're looking at somebody that you're willing to sit for a while unless you just have to throw him in. You don't want to just throw a rookie in there and say, hey, go get it. Like, it's just not going to help. It could hurt them more than help them.
All right, so news is hot and heavy here, and we're right in the middle of this quarterback debate, but I do have to break this news, I do have to break this news. I'm putting a pin in this quarterback discussion because we're getting right back to it. When you said, all right, maybe you got to sit J.J. McCarthy for a year. So remember, that's where we were at in the conversation.
I got you.
Breaking news, sources, Ian Rappaport. The Panthers have agreed to term with former Broncos linebacker Josie Jewell.
Ooh, okay.
Going to play for Ejiro Evero.
Okay, which makes sense. They were once, right? He was here.
Of course.
Does he know how much?
No, we don't know yet. It just broke. But that's what we just said. I think we just might have even said that last segment. If they wanted Josie Jewell back, he'd have been back here.
Yeah.
And that's why Jonas Griffith got re-signed, and that's why Drew Sanders is here as well. And maybe they end up going to get, you know, a bargain bin inside linebacker. Who knows?
The Broncos are reminding me of when I was with the Houston Texans, and I wish I didn't sign with the Houston Texans in the sense of this. They were in a rebuild. And they gave every veteran that they had the same exact contract because they didn't care about what they had at this time.
They were just trying to get through the year.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Get those draft picks. You know, find ways to probably lose. Find ways to get as much draft capital as possible. This is kind of what the Denver Broncos are reminding me of. They don't want to go out there and get anybody that they have to pay a lot of money for that can help them right away because they want to rebuild this the right way. They want to rebuild it the Sean Payton way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may take not going to get big name players and not going to get somebody that they feel like can help win so they can keep some money, so that they can build off of not just this year, but next year and years to come.
3 100-plus tackle seasons for Josie Jewell in Denver. 9 career sacks, 2 picks. And weren't they in the same game of Patrick Mahomes?
They were against the Chiefs.
Yeah, they were. They were in the game. They beat him this year. So there you go. Josie Jewell off to Carolina. We expected he was a 4th-round pick in 2018. Would have been nice to keep the outlaw around maybe if you were but see, all right. All right. All right. Now we're just going to keep it real here because that's what I'm going to do for you, Phil.
All right.
I would love to say, you know, would have been nice to keep Josie Jewell. The truth is that I believe you already have pretty much the same player in Alex Singleton. You need 2 different dynamics at inside linebacker. You need a guy who can cover a tight end. You need a guy who's faster than Jewell. And I like Josie, but you tell me what Alex Singleton and Josie Jewell next to each other did for the Broncos rush defense last year.
They didn't. They could not cover a single receiver. Mm-hmm. And that was my issue with Josie has always been a hard-nosed, old-school linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's going to get down and dirty. He's going to get those tackles. But when you put him out in space, he's drowning, mm-hmm. right? He's asking for somebody to help him out because he doesn't have that speed. He doesn't have that quickness, that hip mobility to get around and to make those athletic directional changes. And so that's why I was like, Josie Jewell is a solid linebacker. But we need more of an athletic linebacker. And we got Alex Singleton already. And like you said, Josie Jewell and Alex Singleton are kind of the same kind of dudes.
Exactly. So this doesn't surprise me whatsoever. In fact, I'd be a little bit surprised if we see many more of the internal free agents signed. I heard they want Adam Trautman back. We'll see if they end up getting a deal worked out with him on that one. So Jewell to Carolina, that is the latest news from Ian Rapoport. Broncos moving on at inside linebacker. Again, you already have Jonas Griffith, you already have Alex Singleton, and Drew Sanders, we'll see. Don't be surprised, by the way, if they go to that well in the draft, okay? I mean, it's been a big topic of conversation around here that the inside linebacker position, as far as, like, elite talent, has long since been a bit neglected. And if you look at the final teams, I mean, let's just look at the Ravens, right? I mean, Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, the 49ers, you had Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah.
And wasn't Al Shaheer there as well, too?
I want to say.
And then the Chiefs, Drew Tranquil, ended up coming in and playing really well.
He got paid, too.
So, yeah, you need some good linebackers. But, again, we're talking about a deep playoff run for all those teams. We're not too worried about it. I'll take a good young prospect that can get sideline to sideline, make a tackle. All right, let's get back to the quarterback conversation where we got interrupted. And to jog your memory, we're talking about if the Broncos are to go out and draft a first-round quarterback. Because, look, Sam Darnold, Minnesota. Jacoby Brissett, New England. James Winston, Cleveland. Drew Locke, New York. Jimmy G, per Diana Russini, apparently expected to be cut tomorrow.
No, we don't want Jimmy G, man. What has Jimmy G done?
He's got a 43-20 starting record.
Oh, God, is he handsome.
Have you ever looked at those eyes?
You can
get lost. You don't think he's handsome? Wow, you don't think he's handsome at all?
Jimmy G is a handsome fella.
We would lead the league in good-looking quarterback.
Oh, man. Although Jimmy G did come in the first game of the year with the Raiders and beat us.
Yeah, well.
I'm not too happy. That definitely doesn't move the needle for me for competing with Stedham, a.k.a. Sparky.
And I think that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
Is you're not going to see another one of these free agent names come in and be that much of an upgrade. Do you think Ryan Tannehill is much better than what Jarrett Stidham can bring to you right now?
See, man, that's – no, I definitely don't. I definitely don't, and that's why I'm kind of sitting here like, why? I would have liked Sam Darnold, of course, but I'm not willing to pay $10 million for him.
Mm-hmm. And neither were they, yeah.
Are you willing to give up? You only have, what, 6 draft picks?
They got 8 now because they moved
Judy. You're right. So they got 8. So I guess you can give up one of those draft picks now to get someone like Sam Howell.
You could.
You know, somebody that – Sam Howell was leading the league and passing at one point last year.
For a long time. For a long time. Yeah, with Washington. So you bring up Sam Howell, and that's kind of the, you know, soup du jour name today for Broncos country is, all right, well, maybe they go out and trade for Sam Howell.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at what Washington's done today. You go out, you sign Marcus Mariota, 1-year, 8-year.
Bridge quarterback.
Or 1-year, $8 million, I think that's what he got paid. Well, why go Mariota? I mean, you already got Sam Howell in the building.
Well, you know that number 2 pick, they're going for somebody that's going to be their starter. They just want a bridge quarterback. Sam Howell, right, he still has potential. To me, he kind of reminds me of Drew Locke. Mm-hmm. Right? The potential is there. Mm. It's just not going to be with the Commanders. And I think that for them, they're like, let him go somewhere else where he can flourish and have an opportunity maybe. Maybe they, you know, maybe that's what they're thinking. Because
I feel like he's even more established than Locke ever was in Denver, yeah, based upon last season.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say. So they signed Mariota. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but Jaden Daniels has been making a big push up draft boards.
Yeah.
Your backup quarterback, you typically want to be able to run the same system.
For sure.
Are you drafting Marcus Mariota to back up Drake, or excuse me, are you signing Marcus Mariota to mentor Drake May? Maybe. I think that's an indication that at 2, Washington goes Jaden Daniels to have Mariota, yeah, stylistically back him up there.
Oh, that's smart. You know, that like definitely put somebody else behind you that can groom you and help you out and that has been in the same shoes as you when it comes to athletic ability and running wise and the way you think. And yeah, I think that they are definitely going to go number 2. Now, Jaden Daniels, it probably will be him, but it's definitely going to be a quarterback, which then leaves us. People are so like on this J.J. McCarthy hype train, Matt.
I'm not on that train.
No, Zach continues to say he's
Is Zach on board?
Yes, yes.
Zach's
he's
on board.
Thawed out to J.J. McCarthy, and it's like, no. And to me, I still think, okay, Michael Penix Jr. is more of a pure passer and somebody that fits Sean Payton's system.
At 12?
At 12.
Mm-mm.
Okay, who are you going for then,
well,
Matt?
Well, no. I'm not saying he's off the board. Okay. First of all, I agree with you. My take, and if you've been hearing me the last couple of days, my take on Daniel Jones, that was a Freudian slip there. My take on J.J. McCarthy is that he's essentially Daniel Jones.
Okay.
He's a little bit better of a passer, not as good of a runner, and you want to look at his senior year in college stats, they're damn near identical. Mm. J.J. threw for like 2,900. Daniel was 2,600. I think they both threw for 22 touchdowns. Daniel had 5 more interceptions his last year. They ran for the same amount of touchdowns their senior year, except for Daniel Jones had 100 more rushing yards. I'm not saying that the stats mean that they're the same player.
Yeah, because J.J. McCarthy can come in here and tear it up for all we know.
Just my evaluation. Take it for what you will. Again, and in that vein, Bo Nix for me is Mac Jones. Mm. A little bit more athletic version of Mac Jones. Same exact completion percentage down to the decimal point their last year, 77.4.
Yeah. Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Who, Bo Nix or Matt Smith? Because I'd agree with you on both.
No, dude, first off, J.J. McCarthy being compared to Daniel Jones is already bad company.
Oh, it's already bad company or bad comparison?
Bad company.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't know if you're talking about me, so I wanted to hear your rebuttal to that. So then
he might be. You don't like Russ.
Yeah, I think I called him out on it. He got a little scared. You got a little scared, kid? All right, so Mac Jones in college, 4,500 yards.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, 4,508. They threw for, I think, both 45 touchdowns. One had 3 interceptions. One had 4 interceptions. And then Mac Jones ran like Bo Nix ran 0.2 faster than Mac Jones. I'm not
identical,
high on
huh?
Just so you know where we're at. We've got 3 shows. Now you know where I sit. We're both of those guys. I'm not a fan. So the reason I bring up Washington, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And New England, they signed Jacoby Brissett. That feels like 1-2-3 is a quarterback, right, this year?
Sounds about right.
Okay. Well, if you're not drafting a quarterback in the top 3, you might have to jump up and grab J.J. McCarthy because it sounds like you're probably going to have to be within the top 10 to get him.
Which is possible. I mean, you have to look around. We don't know what the Giants are going to do. All right. We don't know what the Atlanta Falcons are going to do. Now that Atlanta Falcons have a quarterback and they're in like number eight.
Yep.
They could try to move up to get in that 8th spot to try to find someone like J.J. McCarthy if they think J.J. is the man. You know?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're just getting numbers here on Josie Jewell, who got paid. 3-year deal, we're 22.75, gets a $7 million signing bonus and 10 fully guaranteed. So that's a good opportunity Josie down there in Ejiro Evero's offense. I'm with you. Look, you're going to be drafting one of quarterback 4, 5, 6, or 7. Since you and I haven't had a chance to wrap on this yet, I'm of the opinion that this is the smart football decision move here is to trade down and to acquire assets because the Broncos need players, young, cost-controlled players, to fit under this cap. We just heard about the dead cap situation. Yeah. And you need multiple starters or multiple impact players or young rotation players. So if I can move down from 12 to even to 15 and pick up a second rounder, or maybe I'm picking up an extra third-round pick, I'm doing that if I'm Denver, because I don't believe in taking, you know, Bo Nix or Michael Penix at 12. So I'd rather pick up that guy, and then maybe you can package a couple of thirds, go up and grab Penix in the second round if you want. But there's an interesting, actually, stat. Are you ready for this
one?
Yeah,
I'm ready for it, man.
Quarterbacks that have been traded down for within the first round. Would you be interested? Let's just say they trade down to 15.
Yeah.
And they end up picking up a first-round pick, a late, or let's just say they trade into the 20s. Different scenario. They move down from 12, trade in the 20s. You pick up 23, let's just say, hypothetically, pick a number out of thin air, and then you pick up a second-round pick. Would you draft a quarterback at the end of the first round in the 20s?
No.
Why not?
Because at this point, you want to try to get what's best available that's going to help your football team. And I know we do need a quarterback, but if you we're hypothetically saying like you did for Michael Penix Jr., and you think that he's going to be still sitting there in the second round, then why don't you kind of double dip? Go get the quarterback that you like in Michael Penix Jr. In the second round, okay, and go get somebody that can help him out. You know, go get somebody that can help him out or whatever can help the offensive defense out.
You know, it's just interesting because you sit here, and if you gamble like that and you don't have another guy in the building, that's a big gamble. So maybe they do end up getting a Ryan Tannehill. Because if your plan is to look later in the draft, I don't believe they're after Michael Pratt, but let's just say out of Tulane they are later in the draft. Well, that's a gamble, Phil, because maybe you don't get that guy.
Yeah.
And there's just not a heavy draft class for quarterbacks later in this draft. So, yeah, you probably got to stick up close. But I'll just tell you, it terrifies me trading down within the first round to draft a quarterback. So let's just say you move down from 12, the scenario I just pointed out.
Yeah.
And now you're at, 23. Let's see,
you said
let's 23. Say 23, Houston Texans. There you go. That could be possible. Houston Texans at 23, you trade down. You know, they don't need a quarterback. You know, maybe you're looking at Bo Nix at 23. The history of trading down and drafting quarterbacks in the first round is not good. It's not good. You want to hear the only quarterbacks the last 30 years that teams have actually traded a pick in the first round, stayed in the first round, and taken a quarterback? Let me give you names. EJ Manuel, Buffalo, 2013.
Of course.
Okay. Rex Grossman with the Bears. All right. Well, the defense, the special teams took him to a Super Bowl. Patrick Ramsey. Exactly. Kevin Cobb, they traded down into the second round and took him early second, but he still applies. He kind of half applies. So Kevin Cobb, Patrick Ramsey, Rex Grossman, EJ Manuel, and Cade McNown, another Bears quarterback.
So none of them panned out.
None of them panned out. Why do you think that is?
Man, I couldn't tell you at this point because the draft in general, Matt, is a risk. Right, you're trading down to get this quarterback because you know he's gonna be there because nobody believes in him to be that 1, 2, 3, or 4th pick. What are you thinking?
I think it's because if you want a quarterback, you move up to get him. If you move down and just hope he falls to you, you're probably not very high on him in the first place.
That means that you have a plan, right? You have a plan in place, and none of these quarterbacks you love.
I love that. You have a plan.
You know what I mean? For Sean, we've been talking about this. Does Sean truly love a quarterback? If he loves a quarterback, he will move up. Mm-hmm. But if he does not love a quarterback, I can see him moving down like we've been talking about or staying at 12, okay, hoping that he gets a quarterback that he thinks could help him out. All right, but if you don't love a quarterback, you're not going to move up to get him. And I think that's where for me, it's like it's going to tell us a lot. I don't ever see us moving down, especially in this situation where we need a quarterback, but we don't know what Sean's thinking.
Yeah, I'll move down, just not for a quarterback within the 20s.
So if you move down, you're not picking a quarterback.
Not in the first round.
Okay.
Not in the first round. Maybe in the second round. I just wouldn't do it in the first round because I think, like I said, you've got multiple positions of need here.
Yeah.
You got so many holes. If you're telling me I have the chance to draft two starters or two impact players in the future at different positions when I need them all over the board, then yeah, I'm probably I think that's the smartest football move considering you've got all that dead cap you have to eat this year. Although, if you love a guy, but Phil, I mean, they just traded for Russ. They just traded a first round pair. Are they going to trade a first rounder again next year to go up and move up into the top, six?
That's the issue. George traded first rounds for Russ. He's traded a first round for Sean.
Exactly.
Okay, and it's like we can't keep trading our first round draft picks if we're trying to build here and build for Sean's culture. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting one to look for, man. Do you think Sean has fell in love with a quarterback? Do you think that Sean has a plan in this year's draft to draft a quarterback and move up?
Rumors are he loves McCarthy. Those are the rumors. I'm trying to figure him out. And I'll give you some clues to what I'm thinking on the other side, because I believe the Broncos tipped their hand. Mm. And so we'll get to that here coming up a little bit later. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye with Phil Lindsay, Denver Sports Station, 104 through the Fan. Smith and Versack by with Phil Lindsay. Are you saying that the Broncos have a climb? Is that what you're saying?
Do they? Man, I think they got the steepest climb in the NFL. I'm not even joking.
It's like they're climbing Mount Everest right now, huh?
I mean, see, I used a different analogy. I went to Shawshank for mine. You kind of got to crawl through the sewer pipe. The best way out is through. And it's going to be stinky. It's going to be messy. But you just, you know what? On the other side, there's sunshine and salvation. And once they get out from underneath Russ's dead cap, they'll be all right. Future. But it's going to have to bite the bullet here. You know, I was thinking about that today, Phil. And I'm coming down. Maybe it was when I was driving earlier today. It is remarkable that George Payton still has his job. It really is remarkable.
Oh, yeah, man. The damage that he has done before Sean got here, and even when Sean was here, it's like, what's going on and why?
I mean, he doesn't have any power now, essentially.
But why? Why is Sean Payton keeping George around still?
I don't know how much longer it's going to be for.
You think he's still going to be out of here?
Eventually, probably. Although he's a good foot soldier, so maybe not. Who knows?
You know what? There's a lot of good foot soldiers. There's a lot of good foot soldiers that play the game of football, but yet you see them getting cut and released. You know, it's a business. It's a business. You have to make businessman moves, big boy moves that can help your team out, and that's even upstairs in the front office.
Oh, man, so funny. Imagine if Matt Smith held the Broncos to the same standard as the Avs, or even close to the same standard. Well, that would be unrealistic, Texter. I mean, that would be completely unrealistic to come out and hold the Broncos to a championship standard right now. The only reason I'm holding the Avs or the Nuggets to a championship standard right now is because they're good enough, and they deserve
that. So what's your take on the Avs, man? Because sometimes I see you tweeting, and sometimes it seems like you're angry at what's going on, but sometimes it's like, you know what? You love what's going on. Yeah. What's going on with
passion.
The emotions?
Passion.
What's the passion about? Like, what do you like about what the Avs are doing?
What I love about what the Avs did is they gave themselves a chance.
Okay.
They gave themselves a chance because they didn't last year at the deadline, and I killed them for it. They didn't put Gabriel Landeskog on long-term injured reserve to remove the cap hit, and I killed them for it because it was the wrong move. But they made requisite moves. I'm just skeptical to see that it's going to work. I don't know if it will.
So
and
what's going to make you feel better, like
winning, obviously.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
But to me, we know that winning at home is something that they do better with.
Yeah.
Better with, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But winning on the road, what's going on with that? That's kind of where I get kind of like, okay, we need to start being more consistent on the road.
I love you bring it up. So the way the playoffs work in the NHL, top three teams from the four divisions make the playoffs. But each conference, so East and West, two teams make. So all three in the division, top three, and then two wild card teams from each conference. Well, among any top three team within the four divisions, they have the worst road record in the NHL this year, despite having the best home record in the NHL this year. I think what you're seeing is you're seeing predominantly a one-line team. And when you go out on the road, the home coach has the ability to they call it last change in the NHL.
For sure.
Okay? So they have the ability to put out a different line before the faceoffs.
Yep.
And the way you can do that and use it strategically is, all right, so Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Arturi Lehkonen, that's line one.
Yes.
Well, we're not really worried about Ross Colton or Miles Wood or Logan O'Connor. You know, like, so what we're going to do is we're going to take our best defensive line and match up with you. Okay? So that makes everything harder. And when you don't have the three lines behind the top line that consistently produces, that's way more pressure on the top line. So it is harder to win on the road. But I will tell you this. I also think that they're missing some connective tissue from Gabriel Landeskog.
Captain, do you truly believe that he's going to come back this year?
No.
Okay, I want to make sure we're on the same page, because there was a lot of people holding out hope that Gabe was going to return, and for me, it's just not smart. It's not a smart career move for someone like Gabe.
I don't think so. I mean, he's been out 2 years, and you're drop him in the middle of the most intense time.
Yeah,
and
that's selfish.
Yeah, and the timeline they gave us the other day, Phil, I mean, Jared Bednar said that, look, I mean, it would be later in playoffs.
Yeah.
So maybe Stanley Cup Finals if they make it that far.
But do you want to see him? Do you truly, at this point, he has not played hockey in 2 years. And all of a sudden, when you get to the Stanley Cup and you're going to roll Gabe out there, I know that we love him. I mean, he's a leader. But even then, you have to be able to get your feet wet. You got to get some time in there.
He would have to prove to the organization beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's ready to go. Yeah. And that means full contact, multiple weeks in practice. But you're not going to have that time before the end of the year in the playoff run. So again, I'll put the chances that we see him in the playoffs at like 5%. But if Gabe approaches the organization and you're in the Stanley Cup Finals, he's like, come on, guys, I'm ready. I could see them going, let me think about it.
Bednar himself kind of held out saying, one, he is not coming back until he meets whatever, the criteria is on that piece of paper saying when he can come back. Two, I think that he put it out there that his career means more than just right now.
Yeah.
He I don't think that's what exactly he said, but he said something that along the lines of that, where it's like he has a career still ahead of him, and I don't want to put him in a situation where we end his career. Mm-hmm. Because we all know if Gabe goes out there and hurts himself again,
it's probably over.
It's over.
Yeah. That could work out one of two ways, and obviously you don't want that to happen.
No.
But he's still under contract for 5 years. So to your point, you've got to protect the asset long term, and I'm typically on the path of going, hey, man, he hadn't played in 2 years. Yeah. You're going to hold him out till then? Okay, just wait. Give him a full offseason to prove it to you, because, Phil, you can't wait 3 years. I mean, that really cripples your championship window. If you've got to wait another full season, God forbid, knock on wood. So no, I'm not hoping that happens. I'm not pulling for it. I'm not rooting for it. I think it's just important to acknowledge what could happen, as you mentioned, that hey, if you put him out there and something goes wrong, that's curtains.
The risk and the reward. But this is something that Gabe can do. Babysit Val.
Maybe that's why he's in Calgary. Because he's with the team right now.
And it probably is a reason why. We cannot lose Val right now.
Man, that is really interesting. I didn't even think about that.
You might be spot on.
You might be dead on.
Go babysit Val. And it sucks that you have to babysit another grown man.
But you got to.
But you have to at this point.
Yeah. At least keep an eye on him. I mean, you don't have to. But
No. You got to babysit
roommate, the whole nine.
Tie the handcuffs to Val.
Handcuff the man.
You got to handcuff him. But Val might be a freaky guy. He might like that.
All right, this is the fan. Like the legend of the Phoenix. Ends with beginnings. Oh, some good stuff. We got to talk some CU football, by the way.
Yeah, we do, man.
Actually, there was a... We'll do that a little bit right now. There was a story that came out, and it's Matt Smith in for Zach Bye, alongside Philip Lindsay today. ESPN has decided not to broadcast the spring game this year, which is actually news, but it's crazy that it's even news at all.
Yeah, for sure, But guess what? Yeah. Colorado has never sold out a spring game. So why are they not? Did they give a reason why?
Well, I think that you're a 4-8 team last year. I think you've got four. Well, the crazy part is, remember last year, it was the only spring game shown around the country. The only one.
It was in front of Alabama.
Now there's four Big 12 teams that are going to be shown on ESPN. So they're doing it a little bit differently.
Okay.
And they hit that last year. It's not going to be better than it was last year. Mm-hmm. I know that Prime is, doing the fashion show the night before
he's doing
the spring game.
Fashion show. There's gonna be a concert.
At halftime and afterwards and an after party. He's making it a whole prime weekend for recruiting. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. The fashion show the night before the spring game. All right, that's for his boys. We're moving on.
They want to go, walking around with the purses and stuff like that right before they get on the field.
But you tell me if this doesn't sound like a man who was trying to pitch to ESPN that they should come back.
Gave me the idea. So for our spring game, we're doing a whole prime weekend.
Okay.
We having a fashion show Thursday, something for the boosters on Friday, okay. And the game on Saturday. We're doing an after party, you know, his DJs. Okay. We're going to cover everybody.
Okay.
And then after the game, we're doing something with the alumni, but also maybe at halftime in the game, right at the end of the game on the rooftop, we're going to have somebody.
It's going down.
It's going down.
Okay.
Just like when you played, Phil. I mean, it's just like Coach Mike McIntyre getting everybody out there to perform at halftime. Look, we joke around, obviously. So the spring game's not going to be shown on ESPN.
Yeah.
So there you go. But even more incentive to go because it will be a better product. That was the one thing last year is it was exciting, right? Peggy did the kickoff, and then I remember being there. And
it
as
was
the,
cold, right?
Oh, it was freezing cold because it was snowing. I remember being there, and the kickoff sailed through the end zone, and then a coach, like, pitched the ball to the returner so he could run it to the end zone, and everybody slowly realized that it, oh, right, this is the spring game. We probably should. And the product was terrible. Now, they got more talent in the building now, so hopefully it's better this year, but it will not be available on ESPN.
Yeah.
Or Pac-12
Network.
Which
honestly may help them out more. People are going to want to come because it's not being viewed on ESPN. So now they're going to have to get in the cars if you're from Colorado and go up there and pay the money. Because how much was it to get into the game?
It was like $10 last year or something like that.
All right.
It was the first time they ever charged.
Yeah.
So it was wall-to-wall, legitimately sold out, though. It was one of the crazier days ever compared to, I mean, your spring games, Phil. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come
on.
There were like 500 people there.
If that.
Exactly. All right, moving on. News is fast and furious in the NFL, and we'll get back to that certainly in a second. Actually, you know what? I do want to stick there. Derrick Henry, talking about running backs, you being a former running back. Derrick Henry on his way to Baltimore.
I like that one, man. I truly do. I thought that Derrick would fit well with Dallas, which now Dallas is looking for a running back. Everybody is gone.
I thought Jerry Jones was supposed to be all in this year.
I thought so, too. I guess not.
I thought this was the year for Jerry in Dallas. I can't stand the Cowboys.
Have they even
went
in
on
free agency yet?
I love that you brought that up. I love that you brought that up. Let's just twist the knife into the back of Cowboy fan.
No, I like your attitude.
You bet you don't, Jerry. There were 31 teams yesterday that made moves.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys were the only team that did not make a move.
Ooh, and we thought the Denver Broncos were going to be the ones that didn't make one move.
Well, I mean, which spot would you rather be in, Dallas or Denver?
Yeah.
I think that goes without saying, but I enjoyed not seeing the Cowboys make a move. And the Cowboys fans got to eat that loss, that horrible, humiliating, embarrassing, pathetic opening round loss to the Packers all season long,
almost gave the 49ers their loss as well in the playoffs, man. The Packers were close, man. They were so close.
It would have been fun to watch.
It would have been wild.
To see Green Bay and Detroit?
Yes. And Green Bay has one of the younger teams.
I didn't see that coming from Jordan Love.
Yeah. And now they're going to have to pay Jordan Love a lot of money.
Yep, absolutely. A couple other news things to get to from around the league. Joe Mixon traded to the Texans.
Yeah.
Former Bengals running back for a 7th-round pick.
That's a steal, man. A 7th-round pick for a running back like Joe Mixon, that truly is a steal. And it's with Houston Texans, which are on a come up. They were in the playoffs last year. They're Singletary.
He's in New York now.
Yep, Devin left. And so now someone like Joe Mixon gets in the mix over there with Houston. That could be a scary combination, man.
The one thing about Joe, and he's been a very productive running back by and large throughout his career, he's got to lead the league in 1 yard carries. I feel like Cincinnati Zach Taylor commit to the 1 yard carry for the 5 yard carry in the fourth quarter more than any other team in the league. So Joe Mixon to the Texans. Of course, we brought up earlier Jameis Winston to Cleveland to be Deshaun Watson's backup. No Joe Flacco. I'm a little surprised they didn't bring Flacco back in.
I am.
Although, I mean, you want to talk about a bad trade. We always talk about the Russ trade being the worst in NFL history. The Deshaun Watson deal has been horrific for Cleveland. Now, they've managed to keep it together because they're a better team.
I just think Deshaun it's just there's a lot going on. Even this year, didn't they say that the NFL was still going to look into maybe still having to discipline him again?
I don't know about any of that.
You know, it's just wild, man. This is a lot of attention. And, of course, Deshaun brought that on to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he just needs to find a way to get away from the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, focus on getting back to what he was in Houston when they were on that playoff run and see if they can do some things because the Browns are already a playoff team. And then they added, are you a Jerry Jeudy fan, man?
Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, you're Jerry Jeudy.
They added Jerry. Am I a fan of Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Zach Bye on Jerry Jeudy, that's for sure. No, I mean, he's been incredibly underwhelming, and he was one of the bigger busts in Broncos draft history.
Okay, and we talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about it, which is true.
Yeah, which is true.
You know,
but Zach's got it deep rooted. I don't have the file on Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, Zach got a file on everybody.
I know.
He got a file on me, one on you.
Does he have one started on you now?
Oh, he got a file on all of us.
He's got one started on you now? The other move I wanted to mention, I thought this was interesting too. Aaron Jones, Green Bay's running back, signed with Minnesota today as well. Atlanta picks up another weapon. Former Chicago wide receiver Darnell Mooney now on the move to the ATL to go be another weapon for Kirk Cousins. And then look, I brought it up earlier, you know, to wrap up the Deshaun Watson thing. Uh-huh. Look, if you have Joe Flacco behind him and Deshaun doesn't play well, like week four. Week five, you're going to start to hear a little clamoring from the fan base, maybe.
Oh, you know how it is over there with the Browns. They'll eat you alive if you don't do well. Now, and especially for someone like Deshaun Watson, who's getting paid a lot of money. But I think that at some point it's going to turn around for Deshaun. And maybe I have a little warm soft spot for Deshaun as a football player because he was over there in Houston and I was at Houston. Although I didn't get to play with Deshaun, Deshaun was my locker buddy at one point.
Is he? Was he?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then at some point, Nick Caserio, the GM, didn't want him in the building anymore.
Mm,
and so
really?
He didn't get to see Deshaun.
Shocking. So, all right, Let's move on from the Deshaun.
Is that you uncomfortable?
No, not at all. Hey, the grades are in for the Jerry Jeudy trade. Speak of the devil. Speak of Jerry Jeudy from ESPN. I thought this was interesting and not what I expected. I'll share next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.